The best thing about this, though, is it calls attention to the need. And this is coming at a time where in developmental neuroscience, we understand how important exposure to trauma is to the child and their immediate childhood and also long term. So it is a very much a call to action. And I think that this idea of being aware of trauma to kids, not just acute trauma like exposure to a disaster or something like that, but those kind of traumas that are occurrences that happen in the course of any child's life. A parent gets very sick, a parent dies, a parent goes to jail, a parent struggling with substance abuse, that we need to be really aware and develop ways of helping kids in those situations.
What you talk about in this piece in the American Journal of Pediatrics is that how we address that, there's a lot we don't actually know based on the research. Does this make you wonder, are there interventions being done with assumptions that maybe aren't effective or could, in fact, be doing more harm than good?
That's kind of the story of our whole healthcare in this country. I think that's the crux of what is being discussed now. That's the heart of it, is doing the things that we know make a difference and not doing the things that we know can absolutely have no benefit or, more importantly, can do harm. And whether you're talking about CT scans for abdominal pain or a head injury, or you're talking about treatment of trauma exposure, I think that those are things that we're grappling with, but it's getting better. I think people now understand that we need to do that, and I think our funding streams are going to follow that.
So if you don't necessarily know what works, what do you do then?
Well, there are some really practical things that you can do. In the commentary that I wrote, is that we do need much more research into what really can work, especially for kids that have full-blown post-traumatic stress disorder. But there's a book that I quoted, and it's Betsy McAllister Groves, and it's a really great little book called Children Who See Too Much. And in that book, she says that, you know, we as clinicians have a strong desire as parents to find a particular therapy or strategy, some intervention that we really think that works for kids. But the greatest weapon or the greatest resource that we have in helping kids is a very fundamental thing, and that is the relationships that kids exist in. And for the most part, you would say that that is a nurturing and caring relationship with an adult, usually a parent, to recover from that trauma. And traumas are experienced in families. You can't isolate a child outside of a family. And if there is an adult in the home, they're typically dealing with the same kind of stress, even if it's my child was in a car wreck, so I'm stressed out about it, or community violence, exposure to a school shooting. It's the adult in the equation that becomes fundamentally important in how that child does, especially young children. So it's like the old adage, you know, with parents, is one of the things that we try to do first in acute situation is stabilize the parent. And we see this in the emergency department a lot. It's like you've got to put your own oxygen mask on first and then put it on your kid.
On a separate issue, you've been an advisor on firearms issues to the American Academy of Pediatrics, and one particular issue has to do with how physicians talk with patients and conversations around firearms. A lot of gun rights advocates are concerned about the invasion of privacy and that not being a role of a doctor to be entering into that area. Last week in Kansas, there was a bill that was reviewed that would disallow physicians from asking patients, or in the case of kids, patients' parents, about gun ownership. And I'm wondering what you see as a physician as the implications of something like this.
Well, you know, guns are no different than smoke detectors in the home, or, you know, making sure that somebody's pool has a fence around it, or that a kid is buckled up on every ride. We don't pick on firearms because they're guns or because there's some sort of political motivation. This is part of my responsibility as a physician in a confidential relationship with my patient and their family to assure that they're doing everything to keep that child safe and healthy. That's my role. That's all of our role. It's nothing new. And I would worry about anything that would come between my relationship with my patient and my family. There's nothing more profoundly horrible than taking care of a child who's 3 or 4 years old that's gotten into an unsecured weapon and shot themselves or somebody else. And we've had a series of cases here at our hospital where this has occurred. And it's heartbreaking. It's totally preventable. And additionally, it is predictable if you have a curious child and a loaded gun. So So I think we do have cause for concern when there are efforts to get in the middle of that relationship. I think that's very concerning.
Dr. Denise Dowd, thanks for speaking with me.
Oh, you're welcome.